Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. The Soul of Business with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Soul of Business on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. The Livability Challenge 2021 was recently launched. We are joined on the phone today by Lim Hock Chuan, Chief Executive Officer, Temasek Foundation, to find out more about this year's challenge. Hock Chuan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Clarissa, and good afternoon to you and a very good afternoon to all the listeners of FM 89.3, Money FM 89.3.
It seems like, you know, this is a conversation we'll almost have every year that you hold the Livability Challenge.
Yes, I'm happy to always keep you updated of our latest event every year.
We look forward to it. Now, the theme of this year's event is actually very, very relevant. Decarbonization, reimagining of resources. But before we get into that, maybe a quick refresher of the Livability Challenge and its aims.
Well, the Livability Challenge is a global crowdsourcing platform for deep technology innovation that will address climate change issues and help make urban cities like Singapore more livable and more sustainable. It is a platform that brings together an entire ecosystem of people, the innovators, the investors, platform providers, the professionals, and so on, so that this team of people will help bring innovation from the lab into the community to produce products and services that will benefit the community. In short, we help the startup commercialize their innovation. And we do so by providing a prize money of $1 million to the winner of the challenge to help them kickstart their journey to commercialization.
How long is the process once they enter the competition and now you're open for entries? When do you close for entries?
Okay, we have opened for application about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. The application will close on 15th of April.
Right.
And this will be followed by 3 months of judging and shortlisting. And the final challenge will be held on the 15th of July.
Okay. So what is the process? How long before they find out if they're finalists or not?
Okay, it's a three-step judging process. Mm-hmm. So for example, last year we received something like 400 applications.
Right.
So the Livability Challenge team will, based on the paper submission, shortlist it down to about 50 or 60. Then we convene two panel of judges that will go through this shortlisted 60 or 50 or 60 applicants, call them to clarify if necessary, even if it's international call. And then from there, they shortlist it to 6 to 8 finalists. And the finalists will be notified and they will present their proposal on the actual day itself on the Livability Challenge on the 15th of July.
Right.
So it's a three-stage judging.
So between the 15th of April to the 15th, or slightly before the 15th of July, it's quite a tense time for all your entrants.
Yes. If you get a call from us, that means we are looking at you. And then closer to maybe 2 weeks or so before, or 2 to 3 weeks before the actual day, we'll call you and say, yes, you are in the final. We'll fly you down. You come and make a presentation.
Right. Now that's exciting times. Now let's talk about this year's challenge. Key themes explored this year include decarbonization and reimagining resources. Particularly with reimagining resources, was this in any part inspired by our current situation with COVID-19?
It's both yes and no. These two themes are very important themes in sustainability and in climate change. If you take reimagining resources, for example, we will need to find new resources to replace single-use plastic. We'll need to reduce waste, whether it's plastic waste, food waste, or e-waste. And we'll need to find new ways to produce food using technology that will consume less land, less water, less energy, and give out less greenhouse gas. And COVID-19, in a sense, has helped to bring these concerns into sharper focus. So, for example, during the COVID-19 period, the amount of plastic waste that's generated from the use of single-use disposable masks is tremendous. It's estimated that globally, every minute, about 3 million disposable masks are used and then disposed. And then you look at food supply. Singapore is known for food security. We import our food from many sources. And yet, during COVID-19, the supply chain is disrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we need to find more sustainable way and more innovative way in this area of reimagining resources. So we are looking for innovative solution that will tackle and reduce waste, as well as solution that will reduce greenhouse gas emission, capture carbon, utilize and store carbon. And it covers many sectors, including energy generation, infrastructure sector, transport sector, and the logistics sectors.
Right, okay. We have, as global citizens, a clear and immediate need to address the global waste crisis. And you brought some of this up, food security challenges, the greenhouse gas emissions. These are just a few key concerns. Could you expand on what the panel might be looking at from its entries, an idea or an immediate actionable strategy?
Well, before the event, we will not know what sort of solution will come out. But basically, we are looking for a game-changing deep technology solution that is ready to be deployed. Initially, maybe on a small scale, but it can be scaled up for large-scale commercial implementation. And the panel will look at the proposal from three broad categories. One, is it desirable? Do we want this? Is it game-changing? Would it move the needle? Two, is it feasible? The technology that they talk about, is it feasible? Can it be done? And three, is it viable? Even if you can find a solution, how much does it cost? Will people pay for it? And then on top of all that, we look at the team itself, the business model, and how strong is the team. So with that, we hope that the new solution that will come up will at least meet this broad criteria for our assessment.
So it sounds a little bit more like an actionable strategy rather than just a great idea that might take years to fruition.
That is exactly the case. So we are at a stage where we will fund the innovators to produce what we call operational prototypes that they can then take to the investor to say, see, this is what I'm producing. I want to raise money to scale it up and commercialize.
Right. We are speaking with Lim Hock Chuan, Chief Executive Officer, Temasek Foundation. Now, Turtle Tree Labs, the winner of last year's challenge, was talking about their experience since winning at your launch event, which you said happened a couple of weeks ago, or just before Chinese New Year. They are a biotechnology startup. They succeeded in creating milk with full functionality from all mammals. Could you give us an overview of the kind of support they have received since winning last year?
So Turtle Tree Milk is an example of a company we are looking for. They are able to produce mammal milk, that means cow milk, goat mm-hmm. milk, as well as human breast milk from stem cell. So what they do is they extract stem cell from the milk, grow this stem cell in the media, and then cause the stem cell to lactate and produce milk. And for them, winning the livability challenge put them on the global spotlight. So in addition to the 1 million grant that they were able to very quickly in the last 6 months raise about $6.5 million in additional funding that will help them bring the product closer to commercialization. And winning the challenge also means that we put them into contact with all our network of experts, the scientific experts, the technical experts, the industrial experts to design things, as well as regulatory support, and help them to have access to scientists, related technology, investors, and business partners. And the whole idea is, like I said earlier, to help them commercialize their innovation, to produce milk from stem cells on a commercial scale, or milk powder from stem cells on a commercial scale that is available for the benefit of the community.
Right. So it sounds pretty game-changing for your winner as well as for the community at large.
Yes, it is. And in fact, we have one prize, and therefore we're always looking for game-changing innovation that will move the needle. Yeah.
All right. Now, I spoke to you last year about the Livability Challenge 2020, which was the third edition. This year, it is the fourth edition. Could you tell us how the Livability Challenge has evolved since you first launched it?
Well, we've grown the challenge from strength to strength. Just a few quick indicators year one, that is 2017. We have application from 34 countries. Today, 60 countries. Year one, we have 200 applications. Last year, we have 450 applications. And in terms of partners that help us support these winners, we have 11 partners when we started. Today, we have 54 partners. And the Livability Challenge is the biggest challenge in Asia. And more importantly, what we have seen is the quality of competition has gone up. We are getting very good proposal from startup, good company, good deep technology, and we are very happy with the quality of the application we are receiving.
Okay. Sounds great. So in other words, you are projecting that this challenge will continue to grow in terms of the applicants who want to be part of the challenge itself, as well as the supporting companies and innovators that might be looking at who the winners are on every year.
Yes, we hope so. And we are beginning to see some results because, for example, last year's winner, Turtle Sea, came from the US. Mm-hmm. And the year before that, Sophie's BioNutrient was from Taiwan. And of course, the first winner is a Singapore startup that produced biodegradable plastic, that's RWDC. And I think so long as we are able to create this ecosystem to support them, to help them commercialize the product, we hope to continue to attract good quality innovation and applicants.
All right. Now, from a completely personal perspective, because you have panels of selections, so we're getting a little bit of insight from you personally, and that doesn't really affect anybody's chances. Is there an area of sustainability that is of particular interest or important to you as a global citizen?
Well, for me, I've always been interested in food security. Mm-hmm. And the reason is this. The world population is projected to increase by another 2.5 billion by 2050. And what that means is that you need more land, more water, more energy to continue to be able to produce food for this increase in population. And that is clearly not sustainable. And of course, with that comes the greenhouse emission from all these food production and dairy, cattle farming, dairy farming, and so on. So I've always been interested to look out for new ways to produce food, whether it's protein from microalgae, whether it's milk from stem cell, even plant-based egg, or vertical farming that uses less land, or inland fish farming that don't require you to have large shorelines and be exposed to all the challenges from pollution of the sea. And so this has always been an interest, an area of interest for me. But I always keep an open mind. The application that come in, we hope that every year we'll be surprised by the kind of proposal that come in. And I hope this year we can get a good proposal from carbon capture or carbon utilization and storage that will address these carbon issues that we are facing.
Right. Food security is definitely something that all Singaporeans are a bit personally concerned about.
Yes, and we import most of our food, and we have to find a way to make sure that in time to come, even if the world is competing for food, we will have grown enough for ourselves through all these new technological innovations.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you as a Singaporean. I whatever it is, I hope that we all have enough to eat here in Singapore.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And, it's a pretty basic requirement. Now, before we let you go, what would you like the key takeaway for our listeners who have joined us for this interview to be about the Livability Challenge?
Well, to all our listeners, I would say that if you have friends and you know of friends who are startups, who are into innovation and in these two key themes, ask them to apply to us. And then on your own, for each of us individually, we should have a lifestyle that is more environmentally friendly. And for businesses, we can still do good business and yet be friendly to the environment. And that is why my organization is called Ecosperity. It comprises two words, ecology and prosperity. Basically, businesses can still make money when done in an ecologically friendly way. So that's my message.
All right. We've been speaking with Lim Hock Chuan, Chief Executive Officer, Temasek Foundation, Ecosperity, to find out about this year's Livability Challenge. Hock Chuan, it's been a real pleasure to connect with you again this year. I look forward to our next conversation.
The pleasure is mine. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. You're on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.